Good morning, all. It's time for us to begin our service. We're going to begin with number 5, and while you're looking for that song, I'm going to read the announcements. This afternoon at 3:30 is choir practice, and after lunch today, everyone who is planning or going to the camping out at the ranch on Labor Day weekend is asked to meet in the kitchen to discuss the logistics of the meetings and the trip. And right now, Brother Joel would like to see a hand count of all those who are planning to go on Labor Day weekend. Would you raise your hand? Okay, thank you. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. is a priesthood meeting here at the church. Wednesday at 7 p.m. is a prayer service. Friday evening at 6 p.m. here at church is a young people's meeting. Next Sunday will be Sunday school at 9:45, preaching at 11, and our brother Bob Hedrick, our pastor, will be the speaker. At 3:30 is choir practice. 5:30 is song service, and our evening worship service begins at 6. Brother Dwayne Ely will be the speaker at that time. I'm going to use number 5. Possible, let us kneel in prayer. O God, our eternal Father, hallowed be thy name, O Lord. May it be glorified and praised throughout the world, and most especially, Lord, among your people. I do pray this morning as we gather together here, you will accept of our thanksgiving and our gratitude, Father, for this land of freedom wherein we have been permitted to meet according to the leading of thy Holy Spirit. And this day, as we meet together, we are thankful for this day that you have given us, the Lord's Day. when we can come together and we can wait upon Thee, Father. We ask Thee this day that as Your servant stands before Your people, that You will fill him with Your divine and Holy Spirit. Give him liberty and freedom of thought, of expression, of application of the words of life to our individual lives. And help us each, Father, to be receptive to Thy word, to the touch of Thy Holy Spirit. May Thy Spirit carry into our hearts and our minds the words of truth, the words of life that we have come to hear this day. We do pray for all the sick and the afflicted. We pray for our sister Margaret, that You will bless her, Father, that You would cause that the treatments that she undergo might indeed have the desired effect, that You will work a mighty blessing of healing and of comfort into her life. I do pray for my brother Placido, for Carlitos, for Sister Reyes, for our sister Levita, for our brother Bill Mann, for all those, Lord, who are sorely afflicted. We hold them up before Thee, and we pray that Your mighty power and Your spirit of healing shall be upon them. We pray for the work of the gospel in all the world. We pray for Your servants as they travel, Lord, that they might be protected and cared for. We pray that as they meet together with Your people, as we here meet together, Father, that Your divine and Holy Spirit shall lead and direct, that Your divine and holy will shall be accomplished in the lives of Thy people. These things we do ask, we give our thanks to Thee. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We're going to continue now with the use of number 339. Introduction. He's been a member of this local before the vast majority of you were even born. Nevertheless, we do ask for him, our brother Elder Jim Yates, your careful attention.
trying to say I've been around a long time. Good morning. As usual, I don't plan to keep you here very long. It seemed like I was just here yesterday, but it's been, I know, at least 2.5 months because I've been gone that long. But this morning I would like to talk a little bit about vacation time. And as we look around, we see that here it is again, time for school. Some of them I think is going to start tomorrow, the following week. And I know that some of them are going to be glad and some are going to be sad. Some of them are going to be sad because the summer's gone, it's passed, time got away, and they didn't get everything done that they wanted during their vacation. Others are going to be glad to see school start again because they get a chance to renew old friendships and make new ones. Some parents are going to be glad to see school start again so they can take a little rest and vacation. For they have had a long summer also. They're going to be glad to turn their children over to the teachers for a while. And you know, as I look around at the world today, I think that in some ways this can be a great mistake. Because the morals of the teachers of our children today leave much to be desired. They'll be teaching many things not in accordance with the laws of God. And these teachings start in grade school. They go through high school, college, university. We all know that prayer is not allowed in school anymore. But the right to teach alternative styles of living, the lifestyles and the philosophies of men, and everything out there that you can think of except God and the Bible are taught to our children. Go to Colossians, second chapter. Colossians, second chapter, 8th verse. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world. And not after Christ. They don't understand that. It seems that the moral code that this country was founded on doesn't apply anymore. Our Pilgrim fathers would turn over in their grave if they could see what goes on today. The populace say that they are outdated. This summer, as I was traveling, when one place that we stopped, I had a brother tell me that about the passing of his mother and how he was at peace with her passing because he knew the teachings and the scriptures and his understanding of them. He knew that she was in a better place where there was no more pain and suffering. But his sister didn't see it that way. She was mad about the whole thing. She said the Bible was outdated and didn't apply anymore. And that there's no life hereafter. So she was having a very hard time accepting the passing of her mother. And we hear that quite often as we travel, that the Bible is outdated. It's too bad that people don't understand that we believe in an unchangeable God. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that goes for the scriptures also. Because they were written by men that he inspired to write them. And we have no right to change them. Yet, you get in the new versions of the Bibles today and you will find that there are 64,098 words left out of them from the King James Version. King James Version is not dead or outdated. The truth is hard to find in the outside world today. Even the TV preachers who find the truth once in a while have a hard time with it. We all know and have heard of Jerry Falwell. A short time ago, he made a statement about the homosexuals. That was true. The son of Billy Graham made a statement about Israel. That was true. But the public and the press and the media blasted them so hard that they had to make some kind of an excuse and retract their statement. We can't do that. The truth is the truth, no matter what. We have to stand on that. Make no excuses. Don't backpedal from the truth. We have to stand on the rock of Christ's doctrine and not on the shifting sands of the world. Giving in to peer pressure is another big thing out there in the world today. So-and-so did it, so I have to do it. What happens if someone gets a tattoo that says or shows something that we shouldn't see? And then someone else gets a piercing anywhere from the eyebrow to the navel, who knows how many. Should I get one too? Should I succumb to peer pressure? I might, if I never read the scriptures nor understood them. There's nothing in the scriptures that doesn't concern to our everyday walk of life. It is there. Go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19:28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Doesn't mince around. Ye shall not. And it's the Lord that said it. We find that in the King James Version. It's not outdated. There's a judge in Alabama that understands the teachings of the Scriptures. And there was an article in the newspaper and the news a while back about him. A federal judge, Judge Roy Moore. He was stripped of his judgeship because he wouldn't remove the Ten Commandments from his courtroom. Now the ACLU is trying to strip him of his right to practice law because of his display of his beliefs. If this can happen in what we call the Bible Belt of America, what is in store next for the rest of the nation? Judge Moore understands the teachings of the Scripture. And I was sure of this after reading a poem that he wrote. I'd like to read it to you. It's titled, America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful. Or so you used to be, land of pilgrims' pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge in their lusts, choosing to indulge their lusts when God said, abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teachings of God's love and the need to always pray. So many worldly preachers tell lies about our rock. We voted in the government, it's rotting to the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves his womb. You think God's not angry that our lives, that our land is in moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face, and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the Beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God remove his hand from thee. Judge Moore seems to have a pretty good understanding of the Scriptures. Let's go to Ether 1. First chapter of Ether, 30th to the 32nd verses. And he swore in his wrath unto the brother of Jared, that whosoever possesses this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of their wrath come upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation possesses it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. The fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they ripen in iniquity, for behold, this is the land which is choice above all other lands. He that doth possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off. For this is an everlasting decree of God. Now, I don't know if Judge Moore ever read the Book of Mormon, but he understands the woes of the nation, and that we must repent. And I think he would agree very much with that scripture we just read out of Ether. I'd like to go back and read the last stanza of his poem. It fits right in with what we just read from Ether. How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but to stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He will heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. Sad, but true. The teachers teach us, the scriptures teach us that. If we don't repent as a people, as a nation, and get our lives in order, we've got problems. And I kind of got away from what I started about vacations, so I'll get back there. About vacations and teachers. I venture to say that this nation as a whole spent their vacations this last summer a lot different than you and I. We spent our vacations, some of it was a lot of fun, some of it was hard work. But how did we spend our vacations? I'd like to tell you how we spent our vacations for the most part, and what those that I see out here before me this morning. Our time was spent in Bible school. Youth camps in Canada, and Honduras, and Yucatan. Reunions throughout the United States and Yucatan. Time was spent visiting brothers and sisters in Africa, the Philippines, Alaska, and other parts of the U.S., in Canada, as well as Ministers' Conference, April Conference. These places we considered our vacation spots. And for some of us, it took the whole summer. Did we miss out on anything when we was doing what the Lord directed us to do? I don't think so. Some of us missed time with our families, but others of us were lucky enough to have part of our family travel with us. But wherever we went, we had church family. Never very far from those of like faith. That helps a lot when you're far from home. I'd like to read another poem titled Two Temples. A builder built a temple. He wrought it with grace and skill. Pillars and groins and arches all fashioned to work his will. Men said they saw its beauty. It shall never know decay. Great is thy skill, O builder. Thy fame shall endure for aye. A teacher built a temple with loving and infinite care, planning each arch with patience, laying each stone with prayer. None praised her wondrous plan, for the temple the teacher built was unseen by eyes of man. Gone is the builder's temple, crumbled into dust. Low lies the stately pillar, food for consuming rust. But the temple the teacher built will last while ages roll. For the beautiful unseen temple was a child's immortal soul. A teacher has a great responsibility if they do right. This is the kind of teacher we need for our children. This is the kind of teacher that Christ was. He taught with love. We must teach our children to keep this temple of clay, our bodies, clean, holy, unmarked by the wicked ways of the world. I'd like to read one last scripture, Psalms 33. Psalms 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Truly, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I pray that we never forget that. Thank you.
We're going to close our service this morning with the use of number 88. Let us pray. O God, our eternal Father, Lord, we do thank Thee for this peaceful time that we have had in Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy precious Word that has come to us down through the ages to lead and direct every generation of mankind. Help us to be faithful to that Word. Help us, Father, to cling to it with all our hearts and all our minds. We do thank Thee, O Lord, that You have had a special purpose in this land of America. We thank Thee for our understanding of Thy purposes. We pray, O Lord, that You will help us as a people that You have raised up to play a special role in this land of America. Strengthen us and guide and direct us that our minds, our hearts, our voices and lives, Lord, be heard, be seen, witnessing of Thy truths, of Thy divine and holy will for this people and for this land. Father, we do pray for Your people throughout, scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Watch over and care for, guide and direct and bless them this day. We pray for our loved ones who shall be traveling upon the roads this day. Bring them safely to their destination. We do pray that You'll be with us throughout all our activities of the day. May we be found doing those things that are pleasing to Thee. Now we ask all these things. We give to Thee our thanksgiving and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.